Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you.
Oh, is burning in my soul. Oh, 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 oh. It's burning in my soul. Oh, 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 oh. It's burning in my soul. Oh, 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 oh. It's burning in my soul. This little
thank you. One, two. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. It's wonderful to see you today. You're supposed to say it's wonderful to see you too. Won't you stand up with us? We are getting ready. We're going to start. We're so glad you're here. As you know, we start out our service with a time of worship and with a time of praise. And how many of you know that today is Pentecost Sunday? Today is the day that we remember and celebrate the Holy Spirit coming to the earth. The fire of the Holy Spirit burning in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And let me tell you, the fire of the Holy Spirit is still here today. We thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to encourage you to sing with us today. We sing four songs, and let's give it all we got. Let's let the Lord know that we love Him and that we trust Him, and let's worship Him today. Amen. We're so glad all those who are joining us online today, welcome to Ascend Church, and sing with us even if you're at home today. Amen. Father, we thank You today for this day You've made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. We're glad to be in Your house, Lord. We're so thankful that You're the way maker, the promise keeper, the light in the darkness, the miracle worker. We give You praise today in the name of Jesus. Come on, shout out amen, somebody.
Amen. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures of fame are never enough. You put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in Your love. Oh, there's nothing better than You know nothing
better than you. No, there's nothing better than you, Lord.
Hallelujah. My paper. Thank you. Praise the Lord. There's no one better than Jesus. Can you say that today? There's no one better than Jesus. Well, listen, we're going to sing a song called Dance. And I just felt I needed to get up here and prepare you. I want to prep you because I was reading in the scripture. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, in verse number 12, listen to this. It says, "Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." Because the ark of the Lord was in his house. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And it says, "And so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, they sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And he was wearing a linen ephod." Now, a linen ephod was an undergarment that they wear. I have said incorrectly in the past, and I'm correcting myself now, that David danced in his underpants. And he actually didn't dance in his underpants. He danced in a linen ephod, which was underwear, really. That he had nothing underneath that. And he danced with all his might, the Bible says, as they bring in the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. He's dancing before the Lord. And it says, "So David and all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet." And it says, "Now as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, she looked through a window and she saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And so they brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord." And it says, "When David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the men and women, to everyone a loaf of bread and a piece of meat and cake of raisins. All the people departed, everyone to his house." That's not really relevant. Here's what I want to get to. "David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David. And she said, 'How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself in the eyes of the maids of his servants as one of these base shameless fellows and covered herself. She looked down on what David did. She said that he was embarrassing himself. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord. It was before the Lord that I was dancing. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, he said, and I will be even more undignified than this, and I will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants whom you've spoken, by them I will be held in honor. And the Bible says, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children the day of until the day of her death. She had no more children. Now, here's my point. David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and Michal, his wife, despised her. And he said, I will be even more undignified. I will humble myself before the Lord. Let me tell you right now, worship is humbling yourself before God. Praise is humbling yourself before God. If you like, I can't. If a person who refuses to sing or refuses to give God praise, it's really a sign of pride. Humility is, Lord, I need you. Lord, I worship you. And I want to encourage you. We're going to dance today. And I want you to get your feet moving. Because here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Psalm 30, verse 11, he broke through and transformed my wailing into a whirling dance of ecstatic praise. In Psalm 63, I will dance and rejoice with all the lovers who trust him. In Psalm 149, let them praise his name with a dance. And in Psalm 150, praise him with a dance. So listen, I don't mind how you dance. You might be like Miss Anna. You can just do this. That's her dance. I don't mind how you get down, but move your feet. Dance before the Lord.
Put your hands
together.
It is a
form of worship to him. We worship you, Lord, with a dance today. Come on, let's rejoice.
I'm after your heart. Why should I be still when the worship starts, Lord? I'm so in love with you. What can men can hold me back anymore? You spin over. Broke down fear. joy, I will sing to you. I've ever seen you guys. That's awesome. Sing along with me. This is awesome, the words to this song.
I have this confidence because I've seen the faithfulness of God. The promise of the shore. I trust the power of your word, enough to seek your kingdom first. Beyond the barren place, beyond the ocean waves, when I walk through the waters, I won't be overcome. When I confidence and sing. You're the one who always saves the day, Jesus. You never let me down, no. No place for fear, no place for worry, no. I can stand in your confidence and sing. I know you're the one who always saves the day. You go before me, you go behind me, you prepare the way, Jesus. I know I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid, Jesus. You are the one.
Today. Come on, give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank God. No matter what we go through, we never have to fear. Amen. The Bible says it so many times. Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. So many times. Say, thank you, Lord. You're always with me. You go before me. You're behind me. You're always beside me. Say, thank you, Lord. I never have to be afraid. I trust you. Amen. We're going to have our prayer and praise. We want to pray for whoever needs prayer. And I want to just read this scripture. Bear with me here. I'm balancing a lot of things. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 1, the Word of God tells us, most of all, I'm writing to encourage you to pray with gratitude to God. Pray for all men with all forms of prayers and requests as you intercede with intense passion. And pray. Pray for every political leader and representative so that we would be able to live tranquil, undisturbed lives as we worship the awe-inspiring God with pure hearts. It is pleasing to our Savior God to pray for them. He longs for everyone to embrace His life and return to the full knowledge of the truth. The Bible says that we should pray for everybody. We should pray for leaders. And the reason we should pray is that we can live in peace and that they can be saved. Amen. And I want us to pray for America today. How many of you believe America needs our prayers today? We're going to pray and lift up America this morning. And we're also going to pray for you, whatever you're facing. If you say, Pastor Steve, I really would love for someone to pray with me. I'm facing this. I don't know what to do. You're in the right place. Because let me tell you, there is nothing that is too hard for the Lord. In fact, it's a simple thing for God. Whatever you're facing, all things are possible with Him. The Bible says what is impossible for men is possible with God. So we want to pray for you. And we're going to have our prayer partners come and stand at the front. And if you need prayer, whatever it may be, if you need healing in your body, our Jesus is the healer. If you have a financial need, He's the provider. If you're dealing with fear, He's the peace giver. If you need direction, He's the one who guides and leads us by His Spirit. So I want to invite you to come and pray. And I just want us to pray for America. You know, I felt like as your pastor that I should address and just talk about what's going on right now as believers. Bible says Jesus, in fact, they asked Him, what's the greatest commandment? And He replied in Matthew 12 verse 30, He said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. We are called to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Who is our neighbor? Your neighbor is anybody who's nearby. Anybody who's nearby you is your neighbor. And then in Matthew chapter 7 verse 12, Jesus said, do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. If you want to sum up the whole word of God, yeah, this is it. Do to others the way you want them to do to you. Treat them the way you want to be treated.
That's right.
There is no place for prejudice in the world, and especially not in the church. And the scripture says in James chapter 2 in verse 9, it says, when you show prejudice, you commit sin and you violate this royal law of love. I thank God for the diversity in our church. And I thank God for the love that we have in our church. And I pray that all of America with that same spirit would. Are we going to pray for God to move across America? Because I really believe that the solution is to have a heart change. When your heart is changed, then you don't have hatred, you don't have prejudice. Then God puts His love. I've spoken to many people. Who, when they received Jesus, their heart changed. And where they had hatred and bitterness, now they have love and forgiveness. And so, how many of you agree we need to pray for America right now? Amen? So let's do that. Father, we lift up this great nation that has been founded on biblical principles. And Father, we pray that You would move across this nation. We pray for peace in this nation. We pray for calm in this nation. We stand against and come against the spirit of violence in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, that there would be reconciliation, restoration, that there would be peace. We pray, Father, for revival across this nation. We pray for people to be saved, to come to know Jesus. We pray that the church would rise and shine in this time, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for everyone who's watching this today, wherever they may be, around the world, whatever their need may be, Father, I ask You to meet every need of every person who's watching. I ask You to heal people, deliver people, set people free to provide for people, protect people. Lord, I pray for every person watching in the name of Jesus that You would do miracles in their life, that You would supply every need, that You would protect them. And Lord, we give You all the glory, we give You all the praise in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. I'm going to ask our prayer partners, please come and stand here with me. And if you need prayer, come right now. We know how to pray. These people know how to pray. Come, we'll pray with you. And we're going to sing our final song. It's called Oceans. Beautiful song. Thank God that no matter how deep the water may be, we know the Lord is with us. And he enables us to walk on the water. Amen. Sing with us as we sing our final song. If you need prayer, come on down. We're here to pray for you.
You guys sing along. Lost a little bit of my voice this morning. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, so will rest in your just let the Spirit lead you. Whatever you want to pray for it. Just let it go. Ask God. Sing along with me. Here we go.
Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk
oh, Be careful when you sing those words. God will take you at your word, right? You sing that, you'll get in places where your faith will be made stronger, right? But we're trusting God to lead us and to guide us and to take us deeper than what we've been before. Amen. Amen. Welcome to Ascend Church. Good morning. Good to see you. Won't you just turn and give somebody a wave and just shout hi to them? Praise God. You may be seated. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad for the different platforms that we have on Facebook Live and on our website, ascendchurch.us, and on our mobile app on YouTube. We're so glad that you're watching us today. And I want to encourage you, if you share the service right now, you just share on Facebook Live. I've had a neighbor that was, we used to sit and make mud pies in our garden when we were like 6 years old, 5 years old. I saw her watching last week because I shared it. You know, this stretches way beyond the walls of the church when we share on social media. So go ahead and do that if you'd like to. And we're going to have a good service this morning. Amen. Didn't the worship team do a great job? So good. Thank you for leading us. You know, they, like Pastor Steve says, they're not up here to sing for us. They're here just to lead us, make it easier. They're kind of like there to drown out my voice and make me feel comfortable to sing and worship God in this setting. But how good to see you this morning. I see some of our members back that we haven't seen for a couple of months. And welcome. We've missed you. So good to have you in service today. There's a number of visitors, some we met in the lobby, some we haven't met yet, but you're most welcome. We're glad you're at church this morning. This is a church that we just really want to, four main things. The first one is we want to help you to know God better than what you do. You might say, well, I've known Him for 40 years. You know, you can keep getting to know Him. You can know more about Him. You can know more of how He thinks and how He works. We're always growing in that. Second of all, we want to help you to find freedom in every area of your life, freedom from your past, freedom from pain. We want to help you to discover your purpose. Each one of us, the Bible says we're a body and we all have a function. And we want to help you find your purpose. When you live with purpose, you live with hope, right? And fourthly, we want you to help you make a difference with your life. Together, collectively, we can do way more than an individual can do. So it's wonderful to be a part of a church. And if you don't have a home church, and we come on back. It's a wonderful group of people here. and we love the Lord with all our heart. But I want to welcome those who are visiting for the first time. We'd like to honor you right where you're sitting. Our handsome ushers have got visitor packs, and they'd like to just pass one to you right where you're sitting. So if you are here for the first time, would you just wave your hand? God bless you. Just keep it up until an usher sees. Let's make it louder. Come on, family. Just keep it up till they get to you. They have a visitor pack for you, and in there's a couple of things. Thank you for keeping it up. A little exercise. We had you dancing. More exercise than I did all week. And thank you. In that visitor pack, there's a couple of things. There's a teaching CD from Pastor Steve. He always preaches a very faith-building, encouraging message. And we put that in there hoping that at some point in your week, you'd listen to that and it would encourage you and uplift you. And then also there's a white card that says guest. If you just take a moment and fill that out, we just like to be able to get in contact with you. Thank you for being in service today. See if there's any way. Pastor loves to call people, don't you? Don't you? He loves to call people. He's a good shepherd, and he just loved to give you a call and find out how you enjoyed the service. So in a few moments, an offering bucket is going to come by. If you just drop that white card in, and we appreciate it. Thank you for doing that. Praise the Lord. We are going to have an opportunity to give into the kingdom of God today. Amen. And I like it. It is an opportunity. It's an investment opportunity. And the way we do it at Ascend Church is we always like to share a scripture, because I like us to understand the principles in the Word of God on which we base our giving. It's not an emotional, gimmick that people are trying to wring some money out of you or get you to feel moved by something. We give in response to the Word of God. And so I just want to read a verse from Genesis 28. And as I do, those who are watching online, there are various ways to give. But for you watching online, you can click very on Give Online. If you're on our website, it'll lead you to the giving platform. If you're watching on Facebook Live, there's a link that'll come up. It'll lead you to the giving platform. If you're in service, there's envelopes on the seats where you're sitting. There's a variety of ways to give. You can see them up on the screen. And I'm going to read one verse to you. But let me just give you the context. The context of Genesis 28. Just go back for me, thank you. The context of Genesis 28 is that the Lord appeared in a dream to Jacob as he was on the road to Haran. And he was asleep on the ground. You can read the story from Genesis 28 verse 10. It says he was asleep on the ground and he had a rock for his pillow. And then he dreamt of a ladder and he saw angels going up and down the ladder. It was connecting earth and heaven. And then it says that the Lord was on top of the ladder. He appears to Jacob and he begins to declare the very promises over his life that he gave to Jacob's grandfather, Abraham. So this is what's happening. And he says, I will be with you as you go to the promised land. So this is the whole context. And then what happens is that Jacob responds by vowing to worship God and make God his Lord. And then he follows it up by making a vow to give God a tenth of everything that God gives to him. And so that's the whole context for the verse that I want to read. Verse 22, it says, and this stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all you give me, I will give you a tenth. That's Jacob's vow to the Lord. That's part of his vow to the Lord. And you know, Jacob's grandfather, Abraham, he gave a tithe to the Lord to the priest Melchizedek, right? In Genesis 14. But Jacob volunteers to worship the Lord in his financial means as well as with the rest of his life. Right? So giving to God specific tithes and offerings was one of the ways that Israel would later demonstrate, first of all, their obedience to God, and second of all, their dependence on God. And so you might say, well, how's that relevant to me today? You told me a story from the Old Testament. Well, it's relevant to us because every one of us, you know, we've got graduates this month, and everyone dreams of a successful future. We're all thinking about how can we get ahead, and we do everything we can. And then we come to church, we hear the Word of God, and we begin to read the Word of God, and we see that God has blessings that He promises us. So we begin to read that just like God was on above that ladder and began to declare promises over Jacob, God declares promises over you and I. And so that causes us to respond by saying, you know what, Lord, I want to follow you. I'm vowing to follow you. And then we take it further like Jacob did, and we say, I'm going to follow you by giving to you the tenth. Amen. And that is how we step in to the blessings that are, that's how we activate the blessings that God wants upon our life. Amen. And so that was a long way to explain one verse, but I want to encourage you that this is a principle in the Word of God that is life-changing, that gets us into the pathway that God has for us. Amen. So as you prepare yourself to give, Pastor, you want to come and pray over the offering? I like you too. You can do this. Come and do that.
All right. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you to hold your whatever you're giving, your tithe in your hand. We're going to pray over it. We want to thank everyone who's been so faithful online to give every week after week. Thank you. I know some of you haven't been here, but you've continued giving and tithing, and we really appreciate it. And we can't wait to see you in person soon. Amen. So we're going to pray right now. Hold that in your hand. Father, we thank you. Your word declares that when we honor you, that when we bring the tithe into your house, you said you'd open the windows of heaven and you would pour blessing upon us that cannot be contained. You said you would rebuke the devourer, that you would protect us, Father. You said that blessings would chase after us. You said that our storehouses would be full. You said that we would enjoy plenty. I thank you, Father, for honoring your word. I thank you for blessing every giver, every tither. Thank you for supernatural doors that open on their behalf. Thank you for favor that surrounds them, for promotion, Father, for divine inventions and witty ideas and wisdom, Father. Thank you, Father, for pouring out your blessing. We give you all the glory and all the praise and all the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you agree with that this morning? Amen. Well, listen, we are so glad to have a very special guest here with us today, speaking today, someone who I've known for many years, at least 25 years. I'm sure it must be maybe more, 25 years or more. And we're so glad to have Prophet Ed Trout with us this morning. How many of you how many of you know Ed Trout? You've been in a service before. Wave at me if you know Ed, you've been here. How many of you, this is the first time that you've ever heard Ed Trout? Wave your hand at me. All right. Well, I believe you're in for a wonderful blessing today. You know, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, verse 11, it says, God has given to the church the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. We'll just let them finish this because everyone is fascinated with this, what's going on right now. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Give them a round of applause. Thank you so much, Bruce and Louis. Bible says that God has given the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. God has set in the church. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Bruce, it's okay. Don't worry about it. That's okay. Everyone's watching you guys right now, and you're delaying us. There you go. A lot of people today really don't know very much about the ministry of a prophet. And some Christians even think it's kind of weird. But it's actually biblical. It's New Testament. God gave the ministry of the prophet to the body of Christ to equip us to do what He called us to do. And we're very glad to have Prophet Ed Trout with us today. And he's been ministered at our church many, many times before. God uses him in an amazing way. I just stand amazed because you'll see today. The Lord's going to show him certain people, and he's going to prophesy, and he's going to tell you things that nobody could know about you, but only God. And then he's going to speak into your future and tell you some of the things God has for you. And I remember Ed was here in February, and he prophesied over Barry and Annette sitting over there. Wave at me, Barry. He prophesied some things over Barry that many of the things made sense, and he knew, but some of the things didn't really make sense. But all of a sudden, in the next couple of months, those words that Ed said began to come to pass, and we just stand amazed at what God is doing with Barry and Annette. If you don't know, and I can't tell you the whole story, but go and watch on our mobile app or on our website the sermon called The Blessing, because I talk about what's happening with Barry and Annette and amazing things, and it all kind of is linked to the prophecy that Prophet Ed gave them when he was here in February. So I want you to please give a big warm Ascend Church welcome to Prophet Ed Trout this morning. Will you do that?
Hello, family. This is a wonderful, wonderful day today and occasion. Haven't been behind a pulpit for 2.5 months. It's kind of strange. But I'm glad to be here today on the day of Pentecost. Very important day in many, many ways. And I want to teach on that, if I may, today and tell you about it so you can understand what it is and the significance of Pentecost or the Feast of Shavuot. We have 7 official feasts in Scriptures, 3 of which pertain to Passover. And then the 4th one, of course, before you get to the tabernacles and so on, is this particular one, Shavuot. Shavuot was a celebration of the first 5 books of our Jewish Bible called the Pentateuch, which is the books that Moses wrote. For those that are uninformed or don't know a whole lot about them, the book of Genesis is a profound book in more ways than one. When I got saved in the 60s, my Lord, I'm old. When you were born, yes. I was saved in the 60s. Just shortly after, someone wrote a book about the numeric Bible, the numeric thing in Genesis, and he had discovered that had you put, for example, A as 1 and B as 2 and C as 3 in the Jewish alphabet, you would have found that God's name was always in multiples of 7, always mentioned in the 7th word in the sentence. And man was always a number of 6, and everything was so perfectly numeric that it took the church that I knew at that time, the 60s and 70s, by storm. That same theory went over into the 90s when the computer industry grew, and it was fed into the computer only to find by these computer scientists that there's a system within a system within a system in the book of Genesis that's just profoundly so perfectly written numerically, it's not possible for the human hand to have done that. So every word in the book of Genesis is so profound, like when God says, let us make man in our image, every word is carefully placed there by a supernatural being. There's no question in my mind that he dictated to Moses the book of Genesis. And it's a pretty amazing book. Now, for those who were on an Israel trip with me, you would have been to a place called Qumran, which is like a Jewish monastery where those very secluded spiritual Jews were writing, reproducing the Bible. And it was kept from the time of Jesus to right before Israel became a nation again. And in those 11 caves that they found all these scriptures, there's 24 books in the Jewish Bible. They found 23 books because they felt that the book of Esther wasn't spiritual enough for them, didn't mention God, so it wasn't worth reproducing. But the book of Genesis was reproduced 13 times. And they found an original that they're working from in those caves that dated back even 1,000 years before that. So understand, for 2,000 years, this has been secluded in caves. And these scriptures, now 2,000 years ago, we didn't have any printing press or computers or any kind of iPhones, so all around the world these scriptures were carried by the Jews that we now celebrate in our Bible, And not one single word has been misplaced. Not one. How profound is that? To keep the thing in such perfect condition to thousands and thousands of years that not one scripture, not one, and he said, not one of these scriptures will pass or fall to the ground. Didn't he say that? Yeah. Yes. Now, the Shavuot celebrates these first five books. And so because of this great festival, we have a Jewish festival, people come from all over the world, because Jews, you have, are business people, as you can tell, and they will always make a way. There's a whole DNA thing with Jews. The poor ones are the poor ones, but mostly they will work hard and they'll find a way. They were hard workers. And what you'll find is that they went all over the world to explore industry and to progress. And so whenever there came a festival, they made their way back to go to Jerusalem. Now, you have churches, you have synagogues everywhere, but a synagogue is not a temple. So they'd come back to Israel to come to the temple in Jerusalem. It's like the you can pray in any synagogue, but you have a direct line at the temple. There's not long distance. It's a local call. Do you understand that? And so this particular feast, now I want to tell you, for years I puzzled about this feast and this outpouring of the Holy Ghost, because Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. He said that. Yet he ascended after 40 days. Also interesting why he was 40 days on earth after being glorified in his body and risen from the grave. Only 10 days later did the Holy Ghost come. So theoretically, in my mind, 10 days we were alone. How's that possible, Jesus? How could you leave us for 10 days when you said you weren't going to leave us? What's that all about? Because he went up and said, I will not leave you. I will send, I must go that I can send you the Holy Spirit. So I can understand it would take some time. He's going up and he's going to still talk about it and send it and plan the whole thing. But 10 days, well, there were several things that were necessary for that feast or that outpouring to take place. Now, just for those that are not familiar understanding, is the Holy Ghost had hovered and moved over the earth several times and was still available to many people, and the prophets would wait for the Holy Ghost to come upon them to prophesy. Elisha sent for minstrels so he could prophesy and wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon him. The difference is that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to come and live on earth. Not visit, but live. And it's upon all flesh. The Holy Ghost is here for everybody to have. If you're born again and you open your heart, there's no conditions. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to qualify. The moment you're born again, you are qualified. And all you have to do is invite him into your life. Stay with me now. So this is what happened now. They didn't know what to expect. There was no information. When this particular pandemic took place, some churches contacted me and reminded me that last year I'd prophesied there'd be three major things in our nation that would really be shaking. And I told us that after this, what they tried to do to our president, there would be a real shaking in the world, but it would not affect us. It would only inconvenience us. And I didn't understand it. And so when this happened, I said to the Lord, why didn't you tell me what's going to happen? At least give me more information. And he said, if I told you, you'd act crazy. He said, it's better you know nothing. The less you know, the better for you. I'm doing you a favor. And when Jesus said to his disciples, let's go to the other side, him and several other boats left. Now, in the natural, the logical, they would know that you don't go boating on the Lake of Galilee in the afternoons, because everybody knows the wind blows, comes down from the Golan Heights and causes a lot of bumpiness. And it's not, they fish late at night or early in the morning, not in the afternoon, it's just not heard of. But they trusted him because he's the Son of God. And proven by his demonstration of power and miracles, they knew he was the man. So they were not afraid to do it. And they went, and then he took a nap. So he was physically there, but he opted out. He was not there paying attention. And on the way to the other side, which he told them to do, a serious storm, not a little bumpy wind discomfort, a serious squall, the Bible calls it. That is a very challenging situation. And in our lives, God will tell you to do something, go somewhere, give you direction, but omit some of those squalls. To mention the mega challenge coming your way. In fact, he's going right along with you, not really paying attention because he's taking a nap. So often it seems like God's not participating in your difficulty. Although he already told you he's taking to the other side, he's told you that, and that's all you know is going to the other side. Could you not have told us that? You just said to us, we're going through a storm, you're taking a nap, it's going to be okay. It would have helped so much, it would have prepared us. But can you imagine if he's napping and we'd known there's coming a squall so severe that our lives would feel like we're in danger? How we begin to start reacting and nervously looking around. So God often doesn't tell you stuff because he wants you to trust him. Having faith is not the same as trusting. Trusting is without any information, complete dependency upon who he is. Not what he told you. That's what trust is. You trust him because you know in his character who is unchanging. That's what trust is, right? Are you with me still? Stay with me. All right, so now he hasn't told the disciples what to expect. He didn't say, y'all going to gather around and you're going to talk in funny language. You're going to open your mouth and out will come all these... Didn't tell them that. He didn't mention what's going to happen. He said, go and wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost has come. Now, that in itself was a challenge because they weren't from Jerusalem, most of them. They were from all over the place, especially from Galilee. So they had no work. It was like where we were now, staying home. Not doing anything, waiting around for something, not even sure what it's going to look like, what to expect, no idea. And then the feast came. Now, the feast was the ideal time because now you got all these visitors coming. The city's become fully logged with people from all over the world, Jewish people that come from different nations. There was a festival time. And this particular, there are 7 hills in Jerusalem, and the one is called Zion, which is where this upper room is situated, right next to the tomb of David. That's why he refers to David in Acts 2 and talks about David, because they all there to celebrate. They have church come to celebrate as part of what they do. Even to this day, you can go and it's like the synagogue. We're right around his tomb. It's pretty odd. And in fact, I took the last tour there to show you. So now, this is what happens on the day of Pentecost. And Peter, who was very impulsive or nervous or fearful or reactionary when the woman told him, aren't you one of his disciples? He said, I told you I don't know him. That was just 50 days earlier. And now the same Peter gets up with extreme boldness in front of all these people and begins to preach to them. And I'm fascinated by what he actually preaches. And I want you to read with me, please, in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Verlaat het Afrikaans praat, Handelingen, hoofdstuk 2. Verse 36. They put it up or not? I don't know what they did. All right. It says there, he preached a whole sermon about this. These men are not drunk, I suppose. That was a strange phenomenon. They started speaking language. You know, there were 120 in the upper room. There's more than in this room. There's less people here. There was more in that upper room than there are here. And there were men, women, and children. Men, women, and children, including the mother of Jesus, Mary. They were all there. Men, women, and children. They were celebrating, right? And so when they begin to speak, it's not just some of them, not 100 of them, not just the men, it was every one of them, even the children. They all began to babble out this language at the same time. Pretty odd. And I have to wonder that the Holy Ghost is waiting for the right conditions, which was, of course, the festival, all these people, but also because they were praying, gathered together, united. It was the ideal circumstance for the Holy Ghost to come. He's looking for a unity. He's looking for a place of worship. He's looking for a place of expectance and atmosphere where he can function. Even today, for the manifest presence of the Holy Ghost, one has to create an atmosphere for him. It's okay. So what happens is, and he preaches these things in verse 36, which I thought was really full of confidence. Therefore, he says, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made Jesus, whom you crucified. Now, I know he's talking to a lot of people there that didn't even come from Jerusalem. They came from other cities. They said, aren't these Galileans speaking our language? And it tells us all the different nations they come from. So he's saying, he's holding the whole Jewish race responsible for the crucifixion of Christ. And that's because he came to his own, and his own didn't know him, right? Yeah. Whom you crucified has made him both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they didn't fight back and want to throw stones like they did when Jesus told me, Son of God, because they fought him when he's doing miracles, they want to stone him. And he asks, for which of my miracles do you want to stone me? They just didn't want to acknowledge it. And here, suddenly, there's a different response. When the people heard this, the scripture says, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, brothers, what shall we do? I love that they tell me, what shall we do? Because we've learned to excuse all the things that we're accused of. In America, we have a mindset, and I've been here 22 years, I'm American, I can tell you honestly, we have a mindset that it's never our fault. I've always said if the prodigal son was American, and when he came back, he would have sued his father for letting him go in the first place. And if he was from Florida, he would have won the case. And they would have awarded him a whole lot of money, again, because he was so young and so impressionable, and the father shouldn't have done that. It's always someone else's fault, always someone to blame. I find Christians that are saved 20 and 30 years and they're still going through their childhood traumas and they try and tell me all the things they've been through, rehearse it again, and I always tell them, you must have me confused with someone that cares. Because surely after 30 years of being saved, you're a new creation, all things have passed away. I understand the first couple of years, but 30 years, are you still whining about your parents? Really? It's time for you to get over it. It's time for you to get a hold of the Lord. Because if you're going to enjoy and feel sorry for yourself and all the things you've been through, life is full of challenges for everybody. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous, not the owner. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Pull yourself together and suck it up and let's move on. And give God the glory. And so here's Peter, and he says to them, you should. And they say, what shall we do? They didn't say, we didn't know he was really the Christ. We were unaware. They said, what can we do? And that's the first evidence for me of someone that's genuinely taking responsibility and repentant. They want to do something. They want to change. They want to make a difference. They don't want to leave it like that. What can I do to make this up? Do you hear what I'm saying? And that's the word that came to me, Nancy, about you this morning. You were singing. Nancy, right? Leslie, I was close. In my mind. A lot goes on in my mind. I'm a legend in my own mind. Gosh, you guys are so serious. So, you got a lot of males around you. And the one that there? It's also your boys. One of your boys. I was joking. She's good. She ages really well. All right. The word that I had when you were singing was that God's going to make it up to you. And I thought, well, make what up to? And it was just like someone that messes up and does wrong things to a person. They always want to fix it. They say, I'm going to make it up to you. God says, I'm going to make up to you what you've been through. He's going to heal your heart because you're an overcomer, but you've buried some of your pain and disappointment. And he wants to heal that and bring back your joy and your freedom again, deep inside. Unlock it. So he's going to make it up to you. This year is going to end a whole lot better than it began. A whole lot better for you. Nancy, Leslie, whatever your name is. All right. So, what must we do, they say? What shall we do? And this is the reply of Peter. Repent. And the word repent has got a real bad rap. The word repent, the Pentecostal movement 100 years ago used it to beat with like a stick. And repent, you had to be so remorseful and almost in anguish for what you did in the past. And it was necessary for an ignorant, uninformed church. You know, as much light as you have, God will use language to get through to you. And it served its purpose. But that's not what the word repentance means. It means to change your mind, to turn around, to go stop doing where you were and start something new. It doesn't mean to now see people anguish and cry and just go back right back to what they were doing before. It didn't change anything. Just looked like they were sorry. They weren't really sorry. I've seen people apologize 1,000 times but keep doing the same thing over and over. These guys say, what shall we do? Not just, I'm sorry, I wish I hadn't done it. No, what can I do? How can I fix this? That's the evidence of something wanting to change on the inside. And he says, repent, which means to change your mind, this is what you need, and be baptized. Now, I must talk to you, Goya, about what baptism really is. Because Gentiles have the strangest idea about baptism. When I got saved, it was such a war with different churches that get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or in the name of Jesus. And then some were baptizing three times in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son. And they had such arguments about that. In fact, the whole movement began by baptizing only in the name of Jesus. And it's because they're Gentiles. They don't understand what baptism really is. Baptism is nothing new. It's thousands of years old. It's a symbol. It resembles what you do. And it's a common way of sanctification. And they repented often. I mean, they baptized often. In fact, if you were the high priest, you had many different sanctifications all the way through, which is a mikvah. And right at the very last, before the Holy of Holies, once a year, you have to go through another specially prepared one, special garments, the whole thing. That is always symbolic for God's presence and God's cleansing. Now, if you turned or repented from where you were, you got baptized. If you come to the temple, you live somewhere else, you come to the temple. Before you go up to the temple, you made a sacrifice and you go, you pay your little mikvah toll and you go through down into the mikvah. When it has a little wall on one side and you come out the other side, it's a very quick washing. It's a symbolism of shedding the old and turning your heart, turning over a new leaf. But when John the Baptist began preaching, he started baptizing, and he was preaching what he... And when you got baptized, you were saying, I'm turning over a new leaf following your message. I'm going to do what you say. So when the disciples asked, whose baptism are you baptized? Well, in John's. No, that's the wrong message you're following. John was kind of messed up in so many ways. You know, he was like Samson. He was born to a parents that had no children for years. He was the only child born to parents late in life. And there's always something different about a child that's born to a couple that's late in life. Anyway, he's the cousin to Jesus. He's a few months older than the Lord Jesus. And he's dedicated to prepare the way. It's a very important task. He never went to the movies. He didn't go any fine dining. No, didn't have a girlfriend. He didn't watch TV. He didn't play any TV games. My grandkid's son plays TV games all day. And I say, Xander, you can't do this. What must I do? What else must I do? Really? That's sort of, you know what I'm talking about, guys. You know, come on, don't act like you know what I'm talking about. And he had none of that. And he went down to the wilderness or down to the desert where there's nothing there. He was in Qumran in this monastery most of his life with these extremists. These were both extremes. In the time of Jesus, we had five major groups. And we had Pharisees and Sadducees were very similar. And they would sit in the Sanhedrin opposite each other and they'd argue and fight about three very main doctrines they fought about. And one of them was about life after death, resurrection. They fought about that a lot. And from the Pharisees, who were the religious, pious group, came a group called the Zealots. And they became well known and they were very on fire for God. They were extremists. But also from the Sadducees, which are a smaller group, came another group also called the Essenes. And they were also extremists. And when there was a real split in the church in Jerusalem in the time of Jesus, these Essenes and the Zealots got together and became one, and they formed a unity and said, we don't want these idiots anymore. We're going to leave here. And they went down to the valley and they started right down to the Dead Sea, and they started a monastery. And there, that's where John ended up. He was a zealot himself. So he was down there. He believed like the Pharisees, and he was extremist. He was very spiritual, very religious, and he was right there, and he fasted and prayed with them all the time. So Jesus came visit often in that time too. Am I boring you guys? Jesus came often to visit with him, and he had a lot of interaction with John. But John had a message. He had a preach to try and awaken Israel because they were so mindful of these Roman soldiers, the Roman oppressions. They were so difficult. They wandered from God to get them back on spiritually mindful of the Lord so that they would recognize the Messiah, get a chance to recognize the Messiah. That was John's job, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way. So when John meets Jesus, they interact, but right before John's to die, he's in jail, and they're about to behead him, and he knows his time's up, and so he sends word, he gets one of his disciples that comes to prison and says, go ask Jesus, are you the one, or should we expect someone else? Really, John, after all that, after all the time you've been with Jesus, after all the preaching, after saying this is the Savior, whose shoes I'm not worthy to tie, how come? you're not sure anymore. What made you start doubting? Because his message was so contrasting to Jesus. He preached repentance and people getting repenting, turning. Jesus preached, come to me, all you messed up, no good for nothings. I will give you a haven of rest. I will bless you. That's what he preached. That is what he preached. And John could not process that. It was just too extreme. Jesus was not promoting his ministry. We read in John 4, for example, he's there in Jerusalem area baptizing, and the disciples say to him, Lord, we hear the people are saying that you baptize more than John. And when Jesus heard this, he left right away. He wasn't trying to compete. He wasn't trying to build a ministry. He was very careful to stay on target with his task, to establish a whole new kingdom. John was the last of the old kingdom. Jesus came to start a new kingdom. Are you with me? So when Day of Pentecost came, it was a wonderful festival. And they were celebrating with a lot of eating and dancing, happiness. It was a very happy time for them, more than the Passover. It was really a good time for them to celebrate these books. And from all over, people came, and there was a lot of interaction and seeing the old family and everything else. And here they, at this David's tomb, and they hear this strange babbling. And some babble so strangely that they sounded like they were slurring their drunk. You don't think someone's drunk because they speak a foreign language. You recognize it's a language. So they must have been really behaving strange. And God has to make some people drunk because they can't get to the place where they can speak in tongues. There's only one thing stopping you speaking in tongues if you don't speak in tongues, and that's your intellect. Not your lack of faith, not your lack of righteousness. No, it's simply your intellect, because tongues does not come from your head. It comes from your spirit, man. And for you to put your mind in neutral, and we've put our mind so forcefully in action, we can't even walk into our house without turning the TV on or the radio. So has to always. We can't even get in our car. We get in our vehicles to make phone calls. Got quiet in that place now suddenly. Used to be we got in the car to go texting. Got hopefully quiet in here. Don't make me prophesy now. So what I'm trying to tell you is we've got habits of keeping our minds so busy that it's hard for us to go to a place of neutral, allow the Holy Ghost to speak through us. So when you're drunk, people, when they get drunk, they're so different. The quiet, reserved, nervous person gets so loud mouth. They're boisterous when they're drunk. And the big mouth, it goes really quiet, mousy in the corner. It's just funny how people change when they're drunk. They love everybody. There's no inhibitions. They're not resentful. You know, I love you. You're my best friend, Tom. They're just so kind until they come. Why are you laughing? Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, when they come out of it, they've got the headache, but at that moment, they're so friendly until they get to the extreme where they get other extreme and they get violent, whatever it is. Okay, so what I'm trying to teach you is on the day of Pentecost, the Shavuot, glory came on the earth and touched heaven, really kissed the earth in one tiny spot. There was so much glory and so much power. I'm going to teach you a few things, so stay with me now. There was so much glory and so much power that 3,000 people got saved that day. And got baptized. It says they got baptized. How could you find 3,000 people? It's those narrow streets. Where did you accumulate in one day 3,000 people? How do you do that? Jesus didn't have that success. 3,000 people and get baptized in that day. And so and God kept on adding numbers, and they were having church every day. They didn't have to try and teach you on tithes and offerings. They brought everything they had. In fact, there was a man called Ananias and Sapphira, a couple, that saw this wonderful, new, exciting movement, and they wanted to buy into it. They didn't get saved, but they wanted to buy into it, so they pretended they got saved, and they gave half their money to it, and the other half they kept because it was really all popular. All their friends were getting converted, and they wanted to get into it, and then they died. And a lot of Christians think that God judged them. It's not. God didn't judge them. Not at all. The mercy and grace abounds. What happened was there was an intensity. Listen to me. An intensity of God's glory and anointing. All the anointing was in one spot. Now it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that you are a fragrance of salvation to one and a fragrance of death to another. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So this works in your life, that you give up a fragrance. Those that are getting saved, those that embrace salvation, you're a blessing. Those that reject it, stuff doesn't do well with them. And how it happens in practicalities, when you get born again and turned on to God, you'll find all those that celebrated with you that you got saved, they start getting blessed. They start getting all kinds of, even if they're unsaved, and as long as they recognize and honor what's happened in your life, they get blessed. And then others that want to talk it down and gossip and badmouth you, stuff happens to them. That's how the anointing is working in their lives. And it's so powerful that Jesus was showing mercy to the Roman soldier. He said, Lord, Father, have mercy on him. He doesn't know what he's doing. Because he knew that the fragrance he was emitting would cause death and life. And he wanted to bring life. Stay with me now. So on the day of Shavuot or Pentecost, there was so much glory in that short time afterwards, so much glory there. When Ananias and Sapphira came lying, no, God didn't judge them. There was so much anointing. There was healing. People came in the atmosphere and got healed and saved all the time. That same glory killed them. Another classic example is Uzzah. They were bringing the Ark of the Covenant and talking about the T-shirt that David was wearing, the ephod. He was wearing an ephod, which was a part of the dress. And interesting, it's got little threads in it too, but I won't tell you about all that now. But whatever happened, he was dancing in this thing because he wanted the freedom to dance and worship God, bring it in. But before that happened, they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant on a Philistine's cart. And it was about to fall, so Uzzah just wanted to steady it. And the moment he touched it, it killed him. Was God mad at Uzzah? No. That anointing was so powerful, it was just in the wrong place. And that same fragrance that gave up death because it wasn't what he's supposed to be doing. Do you understand? And that's how it works in your life. The more anointed you are, the more you'll bring fragrance of life to one and fragrance of death to another. It just increases. You don't affect it much anymore if you not keep that anointing flowing in your life. Now, on the day of Pentecost, or the time of Pentecost, that happened so intensely. Now, the day of Pentecost, which is today we celebrate or remember that day, was 50 days after Christ died, or rose from the grave, should I say. So it's a time lapse and a period, and it changed everything because the Holy Ghost came to live on earth. We don't see the Holy Ghost doing that same intensity we had there, because the work of the devil, stay with me now, is to divide, kill, and destroy. Now, if one puts 1,000 to flight and two puts 10,000. How's that for mathematics? So when we're in agreement, Jesus said, if two or three agree, then all things will be possible. Whatever you agree shall happen. Do you know the scripture? I have never seen that happen yet. It seems to me I can't find two people to agree. Really agree. There's always the conditions of agreement. But if we can come to genuine spiritual agreement, we'll see the power of God move. Are you hearing me? So the devil knows that, so he will always cause division because he's an accuser. He specializes in accusation. That's what he does. He always brings accusation. He specializes in telling you about someone else, about God, accusing you. He's going to keep on accusing. It's what he does. He's an accuser. And so he'll get you in the place where you will be divided. Be divided. He'll always try and divide you. Because he knows where two or three, or when the anointing starts to gather, it gets too powerful in there. And throughout the history of the church, we're the most divided religion on earth. We have denominations galore. You don't find Buddhists having different subsections, or the Muslims have this church, and now they're split away from that Muslim. No, they're all one people. We're constantly being divided. Even the charismaniacs are divided constantly. They get offended at something and they go start another church somewhere else. And that's exactly what the devil does. I'm sorry, I should have been more serious. The charismatics. If we take it more seriously, we'll be united. And what I've always enjoyed about your pastor, Steve, is he's revolutionary. We don't need a revival. We need a revolution. And Steve has never been conformed. He's always challenged the system, always challenged people's ideas, trying to go back to the truth. And I'm convinced that now this is his time. Of all the years of his life, it's now his time to excel and become that profoundly, because he's, I mean, you may clap, but I want to tell you, he'll have some very strong enemies and some very strong friends. Because Jesus had the same. Yeah. He said, well, you can't be Mr. Popular. It's just never going to happen. You're going to have people that love him. And so his message will be so critical. And he'll challenge people's thinking. He'll challenge the Pharisees. He'll challenge them all the time because that's what he was born for, to establish, to find truth. And he started, since I was here, even saw him last, he started on a whole new journey spiritually. He doesn't even know it. I can see it in the spirit how he started a whole new journey. And you are going to hear revelation and preaching you've never heard before. So be aware of that. If you have something negative to say, take my advice, be quiet, because that anointing of fragrance must work blessing to you. Because God started something new in him and fresh, you want to tap into it because he's going places and he'll move fast because he's not young anymore. And what it doesn't mean that there's not much time left. What it means is that he's got more maturity, got more experience. What took him months to do before, it'll take him days to do now. Do you understand? He's just more acutely escalating in his skills and his abilities. Are you with me still? So this church has an amazing future. I will write my name on paper and sign it to tell you that this building will not suffice not long from now. It'll be just too small, even with multiple services. You won't make it. You'll have to go to another. But it's all part of the phases, step by step by step. There have been those that have criticized and ostracized this church and have got all kinds of negative, want to come back. And your pastor doesn't even know it yet, will not let anybody not come. They can all come. Everybody be welcome, no matter what they've done and what they've done wrong. They will all be welcome because he's going for the gold, which is doing exactly what Jesus wants. There's no conditions to God's love, and he's gonna emanate that. He's a revolutionary, cutting-edge preacher rising up right here, right now. Revolution. Revolution has begun. Are you hearing me? And we've had this shake-up with this pandemic, whatever they call it. It's been highly exaggerated. Highly, totally out of proportion. There's something to take note of, but not the way they want us to shut our lives down. It was never the way God wanted. Now, our president was reluctant from the very beginning, and he was under enormous pressure from all his generals, people around him. But I can tell you, he wasn't keen to shut the country down. It wasn't all his idea. And we as Christians are still the salt of the earth, and it's in things like this that we set an example. It's in things like this that we are the light of the world. In our behavior and the way we talk, everything we do should be exemplary. Do you understand? It's easy to be a Christian when all things go well. Let's be a Christian when things are challenging. We put our dependency and trust in the Lord. This is the day of Pentecost, and if you're not speaking in tongues, it's not hard. I suggest you in the car, wherever you're alone, in the shower, I want you to ask the Holy Ghost to speak through you and just blurt it out. The devil's going to tell you, just repeating the same word, you're making this up. He'll do all he can to stop you because he's afraid. The thing with tongues for me is I don't know what I'm saying. I don't recognize it, so he can mess with my mind all he wants, but I'm going to keep saying it. And he wants to stop you saying, before you get going with that lot, because when you start praying God's prayers in the Spirit, oh my goodness, the effect, the fruitfulness is way beyond your English prayers. Amen. Amen. I hope I taught you. I'm reading into my tonight's 30 minutes, seems to me already. So I didn't know it's going to go so long. I apologize. You're smiling. I don't. That's all I get is a smile. He's so revolutionary. Yes. Anyway, all right, so getting back to you, Nancy, or Leslie, or whatever your name was. So are you part of this church, right?
Yeah.
Thank you for doing the worship today. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. Being vulnerable, you know, God didn't promise you a pain-free life. He just promised you a healed one. So you can get healed even if you have pain. So I need you to make a decision because you're not vulnerable. You've put a neat little wall around yourself. Not to get hurt again. And you need to get that down. Trust God, not people. And be vulnerable, because whatever happens, God will always heal you. But the reason why I'm asking that is because you, with the wall up, nothing comes out, nothing goes in. It's very well controlled. And God wants full control. He wants you to become vulnerable so he can flow through you. But you have far more inside of you. You sing beautifully, there's no question, but the anointing in you that wants to come out is greater than you can imagine. And all the years of pain will only strengthen the worship inside of you. Because your dependency upon God, who's your real father, your real husband, your real everything you need, will come out through the worship. It's more of a ministry than a singing ability. Yes, thank you. I don't know what you do for a living, but you're getting an offer, and it's not the plan of God. It's an Ishmael, not an Isaac. You need to take great care in how you do things, because it seems so appealing to you. And you're very practical and logical. It was before that you were hasty, you moved a little fast and impulsive, and once you made it, you had this way about you that if you, when you made a decision, it was so severe that it's like a fly. You kill a fly with a hammer. No turning back. It's done. And God wants to teach you to become more dependent upon Him and a bit more flexible in His hands, because become more liquid. So He can do some things through your life, and He's got some good plans for you. You're starting on and embarking on a wonderful journey. By the end of this year, tremendous blessings are coming your way too. This is your son with the psychedelic shirt. What's your name, sir?
Dylan.
How old are you, Dylan? And you married?
No.
In love? Have you looked on the internet? There's plenty available. I'm kidding. Don't do it. Only desperate people go on the internet looking. I think. I don't know. I've been there. Actually, I've met a lot of people that have been very happily married from the internet. I'm just kidding. It's not so. It does, obviously. But you do what God tells you. That's the most important, right? Okay. So I'm just kidding. Don't get reactionary, please. So what do you do for a living, Dylan?
I was in the oil business.
You were in the oil business. And what happened recently?
The oil price dropped.
Yes, but it's going to go up very fast again. I promise you, in a couple of months, you won't recognize it. It's going to go up a whole lot. But that's not what God's got planned for you. You have a skill to lead. You're a natural businessman and leader. And mom can get really mad and kill that fly with, but you're far more careful. You're a little more cautious. You don't make quick decisions. Sometimes a little slow. And so what you do is you learn from your mistakes, and you take too long to make a decision sometimes. And God's going to change that. You haven't let go of someone you cared about some years ago already. It took your heart. You see, you're so loyal by nature, it's hard for you to move on. So I'm releasing you by the word of the Lord today to move on and have what God's got for you. There is a whole different industry waiting for you, nothing to do with oil, that God's got planned for you. But you're skilled in leadership. You're responsible. Even when you're driving away from the company, you're still thinking. You're still working in your brain. You're still processing, because that's who you are. It's your ways. You don't move fast, but you sure move well. You do everything well, and God's hands on you for that. The devil tried to kill you as a boy because the Lord knew that you had a destiny. And so God's always protected you. He'll continue to protect you. Don't look back. It's a new day. And you the brother?
Yes,
are you younger than him?
Yeah.
I'm 23. You've got no beard, so I kind of assumed you must be younger. You can't grow one of those. Okay, but usually people are. They try so hard. In fact, a Greek boy's biggest dream is to have a better mustache than his grandma. What's it? Cameron.
Yes, sir.
Is that your name? How old are you? 22, you say? 23?
23.
Are you married, in love, anything?
Nope.
What do you do? What do you do?
I'm in school right now.
Studying?
Business.
You're very creative by nature. You have your mother's artistic creative side. You also have her speed. You move quite fast sometimes. And you kind of also, just like her, very sensitive. And but your mother's learned how to be immune to it, but you haven't yet, and I don't want you to learn that either. Let the Lord protect you. You've had some relationships and friendships, even friends, that didn't want to work, and God was protecting you, and you didn't like it. You didn't understand why they didn't call. Why? It's because God's protecting you. God's very jealous of you. There is a wonderful destiny in the kingdom of God for you. I don't know whether it's full-time, but there's definitely an involvement in spiritual leadership that God's got planned for you. There's no question. Or part of the plan. You've got a wonderful heart. You've got a lot of love and kindness inside of you. Kids love you. Absolutely. All children love you. All dogs love you. Wherever you go, they imagine that. So true. Imagine that. My first time. Okay. No, but it's because of the love. You have so much love inside. It emanates out of you all the time. You really are a blessing. These are your only two. You only got two boys, right?
Yes.
They're very different, but they're good boys. You've done a good job. You've done a good job, really. I enjoyed her worship today. Didn't you enjoy her worship today?
Yes.
Wonderful. Wow. So, hallelujah. Maureen, you're looking married. You know that married look, that tired but happy look? Hallelujah. What's your name with the blue shirt and the flowers, Florida looking shirt, the gentleman?
Stephen.
Stephen, this is your wife?
Long-standing.
Long-standing friend. You have your arm around.
Absolutely.
I have long-standing friends. I do not want them to put the arm around me. So what do you do, Stephen?
Well, I'm actually moving down from Dallas, Texas.
From Dallas, Texas.
This is day five here.
Are you moved already?
Yeah, I moved half my stuff down.
Okay. The word of the Lord, you've gotten everything organized and settled, you think, but God's restoring to you what's been lost. God's restoring to what is actually taken from you. And even though it seems late in your life, you don't know how it's possible, you're beating that dead horse and you trusted the wrong friends and it was really a bad situation. You don't even know half of it yet. You're going to find out how people were backbiting. You don't know it yet, but you will find out. It took you for a ride because you were so gullible. You never saw yourself as gullible before. And you're smart. Make no mistake, you're smart. But you have a certain clarity of integrity inside of you. You're not dishonest. You don't process dishonesty or conniving. It's not who you are. You don't know why people do that because you don't do it. And so God says, I'm going to restore to you a whole lot of things. That's rightfully was financially especially. Okay, and there's also a health issue that God's fixing. As I'm talking to you right now, that God's fixing a health issue inside of you. Don't be afraid. You're not done yet. And this is your long-standing friend who's sitting down. What is your name?
Lee.
Lee. Are you not married? Are you in love? Anything at all?
No.
Okay, available. Long-standing friend available. So what do you do, long-standing friend available?
I'm a
realtor. Am I embarrassing you, Adam? Abel?
I'm a realtor, Florida realtor.
You're a realtor? Mm-hmm. How many children do you have?
Three.
You've been knocking on the door in heaven for one of your children very intently for God to do a breakthrough and a miracle, and you're tired. You're very tired of it, the fight. God says, I've got you covered. Got you covered. In fact, this year you're going to see a breakthrough already. This year, God's going to do a miracle for you. You can just back off a little bit because you can't do it by yourself. Leave it to the Lord. He's going to help you. He's going to take care of it. You're tired. You don't sleep well at night anymore. And the peace of God's going to come on you as I'm speaking to you. I'm releasing that peace and that deep trust in the Lord that He'll take care of it.
Thank you.
You try to solve everything your whole life. You always found ways, and now you feel helpless. That's the best way to feel, and you're dependent upon the Lord.
Okay.
Right?
Good.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's go where the sinners are. I'm just kidding. You guys don't know how to laugh. Yeah, look, all you that laugh already got more sin than most other people. I don't know. So what's your name with the blue shirt and the lady with the glasses and the pearls? Of the Ralph and?
Honey.
Are you together?
Yes.
Long-standing friends?
2 year standing friends.
All right. But sitting down. Okay, and how many children do you have?
Two.
Just two kids. That's it. 42 years? That's all you could do?
Boy and a girl. She shot me down, you know, just
she
shops
shut
closed.
You down.
Boy and a girl. That's
Didn't
it.
Didn't need to hear that. Thank you so much. What do you do for a living, sir?
I'm a contractor.
And you build homes or what do you do?
A general contractor, remodeling, flooring, whatever you
okay.
need.
You're a good guy, got a kind heart. You got your motivation is always to do what's right. You've had bursts of blessings and then struggles and bursts of blessings, and it's just part of the journey, but your life is far more impactful in people wherever you go because you've done good things to people that didn't deserve it, and God saw that. That's why He's always come through for you, and so you get tired of the industry. You're frustrated about so many things. But God says, stay on course because I'm giving you the interaction with people that you're changing lives. You've got a kind heart. You've got a real shepherd's heart. You're very kind and loving. You're not without mistakes. None of us are. But God sees the pureness of your heart, and He loves it. He really loves your heart. He will take care of it. There is a breakthrough financially. I see a new vehicle that God wants, a brand new vehicle that God's got you covered that's going to be far more practical for you and user-friendly in every way for you that you really need, and God's got you covered. He's El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. He himself didn't drive a used vehicle. Drove a brand new donkey. Nobody ever used that little cult before. Yeah. What do you do, ma'am?
I'm a floral designer.
A floral designer. Is that like a florist?
Freelance for different event companies.
I see. You have to put behind you what's behind you. You've been disappointed and hurt by even family members. It's been a strange journey for you. People misread and misunderstand you so easily. And you have your own little ways, but there's no evil in your heart. You've got a kind heart. You really do. But I'm really sorry for the family members that don't appreciate you, honor you the way you should be honored, because you really pleased the Lord. And if you please God, who cares what people say? And God's pleased with you. He likes you. Your family are a little unusual. I wasn't say crazy, but I wouldn't say that in church. But so just shake it off, because God is pleased with you, and God is so proud of you. He says he's proud of you. You have your own ways, and you always do things with the right motive. You've never done it with malice or anything evil. You've always tried your best, and God loves that about you. He's got you covered. One of your children has become distanced or disconnected, and God's going to bring them closer, and there's going to be a restoration even of that. God's going to do amazing, better than it ever could have been. God's going to do it by his Spirit, because nothing's too hard for the Lord, right? And next year's another couple. Yes. Ma'am, are you together with this fella?
Yes.
Best of friends for longstanding?
33 years.
33 years. That's when Jesus died, 33. Just saying. So what's your name, sir?
Leo.
Leo?
Yes.
They did? I don't remember them. Sorry.
Yes, we can.
I can't remember everybody. I meet lots of people. So which one is Leo?
Right here.
Just checking. So how many children do you guys have?
Two. Three. Oh, God. I'm getting dizzy now.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You forgot how many kids he had? So the age has set in now.
I was just moved a little bit. So I'm
just kidding you. Yeah. What do you do, Leo?
I'm pretty much retired right now.
Yeah, the angel of death had become knocking on your door. He wanted to take you out before, but God wouldn't let him, because God has a very specific plan for you. In fact, your latter years have very specific destiny that God's got planned for you. You're not a pushy person. You won't push yourself forward. You've got lots to do and lots to offer. You can do a lot of things, but you won't tell anybody. And that's going to change, but you're going to have an involvement in this church and this next wave because of your good, genuine heart. What's so amazing about you, Leo, is you don't need to be seen or recognized. You just want to do something. You don't have to be noticed. You don't need thanks. You just want to do it. And God loves you for that unselfish, generous heart that you have. He's got you covered. He really has. In your own family, there have been those that have died out of season. There's been a real spirit of death go through that bloodline. God broke it. He stopped it. He wants you to know she stuck with you. So there's some good things up ahead of you. A lot of changes coming. I don't know if you're retired yet or what it is, but you're not going to go the full length of normal work time. God's got all kinds of things. And you can do anything. You're very structured and organized. And you can make and fix anything. It's just who you are. And you're going to be very involved in the natural and the spiritual in this church. That's what God's got for you. As for you, ma'am, the devil tried to destroy you from inside. You're beautiful on the outside, but he tried to destroy you from inside from a young age. Horrible things happened to you. No one knows in this church stuff that you had to go through, even as a child. But it really rocked your world, and God's going to use that because you're going to become a great instrument to help people enormously, because you have great insights, you're very discerning, you have a great prophetic side to you that God would like to use for his glory, tremendous giftings, and all that because of the sufferings you went through and things you went through. He's going to use you for his glory. There's no question. God is your shield about you. He's very jealous of you, and he will not allow people to hurt or to get close or to do things do you harm anymore. He will not allow it. He just won't. He's your protector. He's watching over you. So you're safe. And God really brought you to this church. There's no question. No question. And the fun is only beginning. Are you guys bored yet? Are you sure? Have I got time? Are you sure? So we're back tonight at 6, right? You're not smiling, Maureen. You look like you're tired, really. You are smiling. Okay, I'm just checking. So the stripy lady, what is your name in the front here?
Merit.
I want to get the name for the recording correct. Merit. Merit, right? And you are married in love, what?
Yeah, I'm married. I have two kids.
That's wonderful. Do you know where your husband is?
He's at home.
You didn't come today?
No.
I'm sad. What's his name?
Rick.
Rick? Mm-hmm. Tell Rick I was looking for him today. He knows how to call when he needs God. He knows where to call.
Yeah.
He knows God's number. He does. And you're quite an interesting little lady in so many ways. You're very smart and very sharp. incredible discernment. You read things very well. You're not suspicious as much as you are discerning, but you are over-careful. You're reluctant to embrace a thing until you can be sure. And you've got to put your confidence in the Lord. You come from a lineage, a bloodline of people that were very straight, upright, godly people. And you come from a lineage of those people that's inside of your DNA, that God's got plans. You've been to hell and back and a bit of a rough ride in some areas, but the Lord is making it all work together for good. As sure as I live and breathe, you're not packing your bags, you're not leaving, you're not running, you're not going anywhere. God's going to give you the victory right where you are because you are born for greatness. And that's how greatness is born, in difficulties. But you're an amazing lady. You really are an amazing lady, in more ways than one. Thank you for being here today. All right, so good God, bad devil, right?
Amen.
Good God. What's your name with the hair? The gentleman, all the hair. Sir? You can see I have no hair. That's Keyshawn. Keyshawn. How old are you, Keyshawn?
18.
Are you born again?
Yes, sir.
You gave your heart to Jesus?
Yes, sir.
And are you working right now? You married? What? Tell me about yourself.
I'm going to school.
For? To study what?
Business and management.
Okay. And that's good.
And play football.
And play football. And play football. All right. Dude, like totally. Your brain's like brand new and unused, though, it seems to me. It'd be good for you to focus a lot more. But you're very smart. You're very smart. You just get distracted and stuff. But God's hands on you. You have music inside of you, too. Did you know that? Very gifted. Very gifted musically. God would like to use it. The devil's been knocking on your door. He's trying to distract you. Someone's got you here, but you'd rather go a lot of other places right now. And God's a lot of other friends. And God wants you to get your priorities correct, because that's where your blessing lays, is with the things of the Lord. And God has got plans for you. There's no question. And they are wrong friends. In a bad company will corrupt the good character. So you've got to choose your friends wisely. You can be friendly, but don't be friends with everybody. Choose your friends wisely, and God will build your life. There's a lot of success waiting for you, depending on how you follow after the Lord. So please, I'm appealing to you. You're at a good place now. Keep going in the right direction. Someone's praying for you a whole lot. Just keep it going, right? Can we do that? Dude, love the hair. I'm not sure what you're laughing at. Am I boring you guys yet?
No.
You sure? It says hello on there. That's all it says. Hello. What's that mean? Do you see it? Hello? Weird. Weird churches. Revolutionary. The lady with the white dress way back there with the long hair. Second back. Yes, ma'am. What's your name? Eva? Are you married to Adam? No. Eva, even. No,
no,
can't be.
No, I'm not married.
Okay. Would you like to be?
Yeah.
Just point and click. I'm kidding. Are you in this church, Eva?
Yes.
You come here?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I work for AC company.
And you have a lot of skills. You're a go-get-em girl. You move a little fast, and haven't made the best choices. The wonderful thing about you is your heart is so upright. You want to do what's right, but you haven't made wise decisions. Some people are stubborn and make wrong decisions knowing it's wrong, not you. That's not who you are. But the Lord's going to make things work together for good. And so you have regrets. You have this frustration with some of the things you've been through, or things you wish should have, could have, would have, because you didn't think you made the right decisions. But I'm here to tell you, God's going to make it all work together for good. So a lot of good stuff waiting for you. Don't be in a hurry. Don't get restless, which you often do. I want to go to the next thing. Stay where you are until God speaks to you. Nothing. You must make it clear to you what he wants. You don't do anything until God tells you. Keep on the course you're on now, and God will help you. You've got incomplete in your education realm. There's some studies and things that you're not done with yet that God's got planned for you, and you let it go. It's like, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And you're going to. It may be changed somewhat and realigned, but you're going to definitely study. There's no question about that. You're born to be a leader. You're not born to be mediocre. It's not who you are. You always have to be top. It's who you are. You've got vision. You're creative. You're artistic. You have so much ability inside of you that God would like to use. And you've got vision. You know, you just want to, you've got so much fire in your soul. That's why you're in this church, because you also are revolutionary in so many ways. You don't do the everyday same thing. And God says, make good choices from now on. Let the Spirit of God inside of you lead you in your choice making, and you'll do the right things. And God will give you a lot of help, because the wisdom we need, we can get from God. Yeah. It's that simple. There's a reconciliation of relationship in your own family that's been strained. It's like, you just, no matter how hard you try, you just can't please them enough. And God says, I'm going to heal that so amazingly. Watch me. Even this year, I'm going to do a most amazing thing for you. Because God likes you. God likes you a lot.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. What's your name in front here with a shawl on?
Mandy.
Hi, Mandy. And what do you do, Mandy?
I'm a realtor.
A what?
Realtor.
A realtor. You sell homes and things. Okay. And are you married?
Yes.
Any children?
No.
Okay. But you come to this church?
Many years.
Many years. Okay. I'm glad. Have I spoken to you before?
Long time ago.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're here, because you've started a new chapter of your life.
Yes.
Your life's always been up between 5 and 7 years. Things have changed always. And you're going to a new chapter of your life again. And you always had vision, and you always kept going, but you've been a little tired lately. And God wants to refresh your heart, wants to refresh your zeal and your fire, do something new for you. God's not forgotten about you, because in many ways you say you're married, but you feel like you're lonely, alone sometimes. Not lonely, alone. And actually God is with you and is watching over you. There was a time when you were a great intercessor and prayer warrior, and God used you to really get a hold of things in the Spirit. He's calling you back to that, because that was your happiest time of your life, when you really got hold of God, because you belonged to Him. It was a very good day when you were born. But you're born with a destiny to be a warrior for the Lord. But you're not afraid. You are not afraid. You will take on any fight. And God wants you to fight the devil. That's what He wants you to fight. To fight those supernatural wars for the kingdom, right? It's a new day. You're not supposed to fight petty things even in your own home. Let the Lord take care of that. You take care of the kingdom. God will take care of the rest. He's got you covered. And financially, you've been needing some financial help, breakthrough thing. It's coming. It's on its way. God's that lump sum is on its way. God's got you covered. Hallelujah. Money cometh unto thee.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. There's a fellow with a face. brown dark shirt. What's your name, sir? Sit next to the pillow, yes.
My name's Rick.
Actually, Rick, the guy right before you. You also got a face, too, I see. I know you play the keyboard. You come from Massachusetts or somewhere up there, right?
Yes.
You're from... They shut that place really down. So what's your name, sir?
Christopher.
Christopher, Winnie the Pooh's friend, right?
Yes. Christopher Robin.
Robin, yes. Are you with someone here?
My mother. And.
That's your mother, so young?
Yes.
And then the guy next to you is?
Brother-in-law and sister and baby.
Oh, nice. So what do you do for a living, Christopher?
I flip houses.
You flip houses?
Buy them and fix them up and sell them.
And a good job you do. What I really like about you is you're not a give-upper. Since you were a child, you just don't give up. You can get mad and you can throw a fit and things don't work out, but you'll calm down, think it through, and you start it up again. It's who you are. And you're an amazing man, because you'll always succeed that way. Always. It's who you are. And what I like about you, too, is you're a loyal friend. Loyal to a fault. And God's seen that. You know, God records in His book of remembrance things that you did as a child for other people when there was no reason for you to do it, just the kindness of your heart and the loyalty of your spirit. Your words are true. If you make a promise, you'll do what you say. It's very important to you. If you make a promise, you're going to fix that. You'll do what you say, and you'll keep your word. You're not flippant with your words. And so you're a man of integrity, and you have a wonderful destiny in God's kingdom because of it. God wants to use you that people can learn from you. Also, very structured. You're a teacher. You communicate very well. Everything has a certain order. No matter what goes on with those flipping those houses, you've got a certain order, and you're not changing that order and doing that first. No matter how much they throw a fit, you're doing that first. And that's the way it's going to be. And 99% of the time, you're right anyway. But the point is you're going to use that same gift to teach God's word. Don't trust people easily. You're careful, take a long time. Once you do, you're committed. And so I'm asking you to be committed to this house, to the family, because you have a role to play. I don't know if you go to church somewhere else, but this is where I really feel that God would like to use as a teacher of the word, because you're clear, very clear, very clear. And how many children do you have?
Three.
Three. Are you planning any more?
No.
Because there's a fourth child in your house, and I don't know that it's a physical child from your wife, but I believe somehow, because you're such a good dad, you're an outstanding dad. outstanding. You're a listener, and you deal with things correctly, and there's another child that needs that guidance, that strength that you have. You really are a powerful little leader that God's got planned. So I'm looking forward to all the things God's going to use you for. And Mama, what's your name?
Andrea.
Andriette?
Andrea.
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 Okay. Are you married, Andrea?
Yes.
Okay. Where is he today?
He's watching online at home.
Watching online? You could have had a word if he was here. So what do you do for a living, Andrea?
I'm a photographer and a mother. Yeah.
Yeah, you're very artistic and creative, but people underestimate you. Because you always laugh at the jokes in the wrong place. You always don't get it. But they underestimate you. You're a lot smarter and sharper than they think you are.
Thank you.
And they always get a shock later because you're not that. You may not figure it out right away, but you will figure it out.
Yes.
Always. And usually, 99% of the time, your discernment is right. You get a feeling about something, get a feeling. You use that phrase with your husband from way back when, I've got a feeling.
Yeah.
And they always try and talk you out of it. Yeah. But you really hear from God. You really are a blessing. As a sign to you that I'm speaking God's word, that his hand's on your life very strongly because of the prayers of someone in your family since you were a child. In your own body, as I'm speaking to you, there's something that's been a little bit discomforting in your physical person. You leave that seat today. It'll leave you completely, and you'll be healed completely. That's God's as a sign to you.
Thank you. Amen.
What's your name right behind the guy on the keyboard? Is it keyboard, right? Yeah.
Rick.
Rick the Trick.
Yeah.
And you married to?
Yes, I am.
To who? Do you know?
Cherie.
Cherie.
She's at home. She's at work right now.
Okay. Thank you for your faithfulness all the years. And the Lord says, I must tell you, you can ask anything you want. Claim your prize. Because you've been so, God rewards faithfulness. No question. And he wants to reward you. You don't have it, you can ask. You're not a high demand. You're not a person that makes a lot of requests. But you need to ask the Lord. Because you've been so faithful in so many ways. Not just to the church. You've been faithful in many ways. And God, when you didn't need to be. And you were, and God wants to reward you. It's that simple. One of your children or someone you care about very much has been a focus of your prayer life, and God has got you covered. He says, I'm going to take care of it, right? Then directly behind him, someone else with lots of hair again, right in the corner. What's your name?
Joseph. Joseph.
Joseph, you know her?
No, it's my first time.
Your first time, probably your last after all this, yeah? Crazy church people. Where do you come from?
I'm from West Palm.
From West Palm?
Yes, all West right. Palm Beach. Well,
you are welcome here in this crazy church, okay?
Thank you.
We're welcome. This is a completely new chapter, a new day in your life. Everything's changing. Even the place you work, everything is going to another level. You've come to the end of yourself and you're tired of some things and you've had to walk not a lonely but a very... much a lone road. You haven't had someone you can really share with because people don't always get you. They just don't understand you and they're quick to have the wrong assessment of your life and not give you what's rightfully yours. Even when you work and do things, they don't give you what's rightfully yours. You really have skills and you don't want to be pressurized or pushed because you think things carefully through. That's the thing about you. I would call you a careful person and you take care with everything you touch and do. You don't just go in like a bull in a china shop, you're careful also with people. And your hands, God's hands on you for his people. There's ministry inside of you that God gave you, but he wants you to let go of the old because it's taking you something new. It's a new. Everything in your life is getting new. You come to the end of a certain chapter. It's nothing wrong. God's not dismissing you from the one to take it. No, it's a promotion on every level, and God will take care of it. There's even a reconciliation in your own family. He's bringing unity, a spirit of unity in your own household. He's doing great things for you. You've tried. Now watch God move on your behalf. He will not forget you. You know the ways of the Lord. You are prophetic. You have a lot of ministry inside of you. He'll use it all for his glory. Nothing will stop his plan. Thank Amen. You so much for being
Thank
here today.
You.
You're a very welcome visitor. What's that? Can you choose one? You've changed your mind, have you? Go ahead. Of course, you're the boss.
I want to ask the new family I met before service. Would you mind standing up? This is a new family.
Well, where's the list of those things you wrote down for them? Where are they? Oh, it has to be 5,000 people? The new family. What's your name, sir, with the shirt?
Well,
Noel Senior.
Noel.
Noel Ernesto Escobar from Davie, Florida.
All right. Gloria a Dios.
Amen.
Are you married?
A widower.
Okay.
I came to visit my son today.
All right.
He lives in Stuart.
I'm glad you're here today. You've come a long journey. You may have only so many years you've lived, but your mileage is way more than that. You've done so much in your life, so much you've been through. You could tell so many, many stories. And you're a survivor.
Thank you.
You've survived many things you should have been dead. But you survived. Because God had not finished his plan with your life yet.
Thank you.
You've been accused many times of things that you were not guilty of. People want to beat you up because you're an easy target. But God's your defender and your shield, and he's your helper. And he's dried your tears. And this is a peaceful years of your life. God wants you to come into rest. It's hard for you to rest because you've always got something going on. You're always doing something. You don't know. Even when you're supposed to be resting, you'll find something. You don't know how to be locked down or stay home.
How do you know that?
How do I know that? I'm making it up.
Amazing. Wow.
But you've got to train yourself to rest because your value now is not in what you can do. But your value is in the wisdom you have. You have amazing wisdom. The first thing you say when people ask you questions is usually the one that's the right one. When you talk too much after that, it gets confusing. You need to say the first thing because you have a lot of God-given wisdom from life. You've been to the extreme poverties, to the extreme blessings. You know all those things. You know it all. And you've learned so much about life. And these, not only your family, but other people need to get from the wisdom too.
Yeah.
So may I invite you always to serve God. Because you know how to call upon him. He's helped you so many times. You're the son. What's your name?
Noel Jr.
Noel Jr.
Yes.
Original. Ran out of names. That's the trouble.
Yep.
These big grande familia. And this is your wife next to you?
Correct.
Did you know that, ma'am?
Yep.
What's your name?
Beth.
Pat.
Beth.
Like Elizabeth. But short.
Oh, Elizabeth. Beth. Oh, Beth. Okay. And how many children do you have?
Four.
Wonderful. Beth, you're an amazing woman. You're a real tower. Because you have uprightness, clarity, you're full of truth, and you're dependable and smart. Everything's systematic and organized with you. And you're just God's champion. There's another way to describe you, God's champion, in more ways than one. And you're very calm. You're not a panicky person. Very calm. And now I'm, you know, my Pastor Theo always tells me when I get all excited, he says, you don't sound like you're in faith when you get all excited. What do you mean, Pastor Theo? I'm not excited. I'm just talking. I get all loud and so on, but you're not you. You're very calm, very straightforward, and you think things through. So you're a very natural, strong leader, and you're a communicator, an educator. You're an educator. You teach, and you educate, and you lay good foundations, and you make difference in people's lives. You have great value to God's kingdom, and even the kingdoms of this world. You have great kingdom, great value, and an amazing... You married very well, Noel Jr. I don't know how that happened. She must have been very
Prayer.
Young, very young.
True.
Come from a small town or something. But either way, you were very blessed to have her. What do you do, Noel?
An accountant.
You're an accountant?
Yes.
You're an interesting man in many ways. You don't look for trouble. It just comes naturally. It's the funniest things. Things happen to you. Everyone else can drive that car, but you drive it, then it breaks. It's the strangest thing with you, but it stops today because God wants to speak his blessing on you. You have a kind heart and a very gentle spirit. You really care about people. You can get excited. I mean, unlike her, you go from 0 to 100 in 10 seconds. But your heart is so kind. You want to do for people. You're not mean. You're really kind, and God loves you for it. You try to do 5 things at the same time, and you've got to slow that down because that's when you make your mistakes.
Sure.
Because you must do one thing at a time and do it right, not 5 things, because that's where you're making your mistakes. But you are good. You want to help everybody. You can say yes to everybody. Not everything that people ask you to do, you must do. Sometimes say no. It's the healthiest thing for them and for you. God's your helper. He's restoring to you. You've been robbed. You've been beaten financially in a certain area. God wants to restore to you what's rightfully yours. Your self-image took a real knock through it, and God's going to restore to you what's rightfully yours. Okay, your 4 kids, which ones are they now? These. All the kids are yours?
Yeah.
Okay, and grandma's in between?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your name, young lady, the first one?
Melina,
you're a combination of mom and dad, a little drama queen sometimes, but... You have a wonderful heart, and you're very smart, and you know what you want, and you want to try and run the whole household. It doesn't work too well for you, but you can keep trying. It'll keep going. But you're a natural leader. You'll do smart. You'll go to college. You'll go to university, and you will succeed. You will. And no one, no man's going to break your heart. No, not you. You're going to be the boss. Nixty, what's your name? Dude.
Casey.
Tacy?
Casey.
Casey, you are how old?
16.
Yes, Casey, you're a lot like your mother, but there's medical future for you industry. I don't know if you're planning it, but you need to go and study medical industry, which you're very calm, and you're very attentive, you're very smart. You have your mother's calmness and strength, but you also have a lot of, very smart. You must have your dad's brains, which mom still has hers, so you must have your dad's brains. Very smart. Next to you is?
Natalia.
And you're the eldest?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you do?
I'm an artist.
Are you school still? No.
No, but I'm signing up for school for cosmetology.
Yeah. It's been a struggle for you to find your identity. I don't know what it is of why you don't think you're beautiful. You are stunning, but you don't think that about yourself. You've been your worst enemy, and you've gone through such an emotional thing. And people, just a few people, one person says something, and nine people love you. One idiot says something stupid, and it scars your spirit. That needs to stop today. You need to get yourself filled with God's word because you are a powerhouse. You are a powerhouse. And your life will be in God's word. It'll make you strong because you'll be an unstoppable force. This is who you are. And so you've got all that energy. And so this is a time you've come through a season of teenagers. It's really hard to be a teenager. But that's past. And God's got some good things for you. Do you understand? Okay. Mm-hmm. Grandma. You're not one of the children. I know you're not.
Okay.
Are you her
I'm
mother?
Beth's mother.
Beth's mother. All right. And so are you married?
No.
And would you like to be?
No.
How's that for clarity? Interesting lady you are. She's not quite like you. She's got a bit of both mom and dad, more dad, I think, but you're very different to her in some ways. And you can be stubborn now. I hate to tell you that, but you can be really stuck on some things in your life. And you've got a good heart, but when you're determined, nothing stops you.
True.
And God's teaching you to become a little more flexible. You know, you're kind of mistrusting because you've let people say one thing and do another, and you can't stand that.
Right.
And so you think everyone's like it, and it's not true. A lot of people are integrous, and so God's teaching you to become more open. You may be not a young girl, but you have a whole lot of years left that are very important to the Lord to be used by Him if you're willing to give it to Him and surrender your time to Him that He can use you, because you have a lot of wisdom and insights, and you can get things done. You're capable of doing many things. You're not talented in one area. There's not much you can do well. Everything you do is well done. And you're not like a senior person. You're just not likely. You don't hang around with those seniors. They wear you down. You've got this energy inside of you that you need to keep going. And you've got lots of creativity inside of you, a woman of abilities. So God wants to use you like a sharp arrow. So if you just give Him your life and your hand, time into His hands, He'll make you a very fruitful instrument in His hands. What's your name, dude?
Tucker.
Tucker? You called him Tucker? How come? You didn't call him Noel number 3 or something? How old are you, Tucker?
18.
18. What do you want to do with your life?
I want to become a firefighter.
You got a real heart for people. Did you know that? People love you wherever you go, and you got a kind, loving heart. You're very gentle. You don't finish everything you start. You've got a lot of zeal, and you've got a lot of ideas, and real slob sometimes, too. You don't pick up your room. But you've got a good heart, beautiful, beautiful heart. That's what makes you the wonderful man that you are. You care about people, and people are safe with you. You have no judgment in you. And if you will give your life to God, God will call you to the kingdom, to the ministry full-time. I'm convinced of it. That's what you're really born for. You are an amazing young man. Honestly, you've got some amazing kids. You've done some, they're very different. Like, you sure got them from the same gene pool, because none of them are the same. None of them. Not even close. But they really got champions today. Thank you so much for being here. All right, so we'll continue tonight faster. I want to just let you know I have some wonderful books and product back there. I'll be at the table interpreting dreams or prophesying. I'll teach you all about that, all the books and things out there. Thank you. Have the mic. Thank you. Thank you, Prophet Ed. Why don't we just give the Lord a big hand of thanks for Prophet Ed today. And, you know, we usually finish our service at 11:30, but I so want every person to have a word from the Lord that we went a little longer than that. I hope you don't mind. So I don't mind. So I could be here all day. I don't mind. I know everyone said that, right? Well, anyway, praise God. You know, we're going to have a service again tonight. We don't usually have an evening service, but we're having a service at 6 p.m. And here's the reason why. Because Ed can only minister to so many people in one service. And so we're going to have another service to give another opportunity for people to receive that word from the Lord. And, you know, a lot of people that receive the word from the Lord today are new, and I don't know you. So sometimes it's hard for me. I don't really know you. But when Ed prophesies over people, I know them. It's always like, that's right. I know that. That's right on. But it's just amazing for me to see how God uses Prophet Ed Trout to speak to people. But let me tell you, one word from the Lord can have such a dramatic impact on your life, because you know there's no way he could have known that except God showed it to him, because God knows everything about you. Amen? Are you glad you came this morning? Now listen, before we dismiss, and in a couple of minutes I'm going to let you go home, but we always, when we have a guest like Prophet Ed, we always want to be a blessing to them. They've been a blessing to us. And the Bible tells us in 3 John, in verse number 5, 3 John, listen to what the scripture says. Dear friend, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God, for they are traveling for the Lord and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. So we ourselves should support them so that we can be their partners as they teach the truth. The Bible says that we should support people who travel and minister, and that we become partners with them. And the Passion Bible says, if you would be so kind, send them on their way with a generous gift in a manner that would honor God. So that tells me there's a way that we can support God's servants in a way that honors God, and there's a way that would dishonor God. We want to honor the Lord today. Amen? And, you know, Ed said that earlier that today's the first time that he's been out of his house in 2.5 months. He said, in actual fact, he said, thanks so much. I really need to get out of the house. He hasn't been traveling, and because churches haven't been open. And I was sitting at home the other day, and I thought, well, Ed must be home. I'm going to call him. Why? You know, we're open. We haven't missed a Sunday. So I asked him to come preach, and he came to minister. So, you know, of course, having someone like Ed Trout, we flew him in from Texas, and, you know, the airways don't fly you in for free because you're a preacher. You still got to pay for your ticket. So there's airfares and there's hotel and all things like that. But more than that, we want to be a blessing. We want to support. We believe in the ministry of Prophet Ed Trout, and we want to support his ministry. We want to be a blessing to him. Does anyone agree? All the givers, can you say amen? Or just let me know out there that you're with me on this. So we're going to receive an offering, and whatever you give right now will be given to the ministry of Prophet Ed Trout. If you want to write a check, you can write it to Ascend Church. You can give by credit card, debit card, various different ways, and use the envelope. Just give them a moment. Don't rush them. Sometimes it takes a while to write the word thousand out there, and some people are going to write that thousand out there. So praise the Lord. Tonight we'll be back at 6 p.m. I want to let you know that we're having baby dedication on June 14th, Sunday, June 14th. If you'd like to have your baby dedicated, your child dedicated, please let us know. Contact our office. Come talk to me that you want to be included in the baby dedication on June the 14th. I want to say thank you to all of our volunteers, our servant leaders who served in God's house today. Won't you give a big round of applause to all of our servant leaders who are here today serving and helping. We so appreciate it. I want to ask you to stand up with me as we close in prayer. I'm going to give the altar call band, and then we're going to go into that, okay? Just stand up with me. Bow your head if you would. Close your eyes if you would. While heads are bowed, while eyes are closed. If you have never received Jesus in your life, I want to pray with you today. It's the greatest decision you can ever make. If you're standing here today and you say, Pastor Steve, you know, I'm really not sure where I stand with the Lord today. I'm really not sure if all is right between me and God. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain that you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is, are you absolutely certain? Are you sure? Can you say you know that if you died today, you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can be sure about that. You can know. You can leave here knowing that all is right, all is well between you and God, that every mistake, every sin you've ever committed, it's forgiven and washed away. And you can know for sure that heaven is where you'll spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is a real place. There's a heaven to gain and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you today. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come out and to the front, but right where you stand, while heads are bowed and while eyes are closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure all is right, all is well between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, would you quickly, right now, just slip your hand up high. Just lift your hand up. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer this morning. God bless you. All righty. Didn't see anybody's hand. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Family, we love you. We'll see you tonight, 6 p.m. We're going to dance. We're going to dance before the Lord.